Hi, my name is George Batty, and this week the question is, what is a true miracle? Let's begin by reading Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Here is a true Bible miracle. Notice some very important facts about this story. First, this lame man was obviously lame. Everyone in town knew that he was lame. He had been laid there at the gate all of his life. This healing was something that everyone in town could see. It was not some tumor hidden inside of his body that could not be verified. It was not something that could be attributed to psychosomatic problems. This was not a subjective illness, but an objective case of a man lame from birth, verse 2. Number 2, this man was not expecting to be healed, according to verse 5. He did not have faith in the preachers who were doing the healing. He did not have faith in Jesus Christ. He was actually only begging for money. And when the apostles approached him, he was expecting to receive money, not healing. Number 3, Peter and John did not have prayer. There was no ceremony. There was no anointing with oil. There was no healing service. They did not ask the man if he had faith to be healed. Peter just grabbed him by the hand and jerked him up to his feet. Number 4, the healing was instantaneous. It was immediate, according to verse 7. There was no rehabilitation period. It was not a matter of several weeks passing by, and then the man gradually was able to walk with some crutches, and then several more weeks passed with therapy. He could then limp along without crutches. Oh, no, this was instant and immediate. Number 5, the healing was permanent. This lame man did not have a relapse the next day. Acts chapter 4, verse 22 makes it apparent that once he was healed, he stayed healed. Number 6, the healing could not be denied, not even by the enemies of the apostles. Notice carefully in chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 15. The Jewish council conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." If these Jewish leaders could have denied this miracle, they certainly would have done so, but they were not able to deny it. What then is a true Bible miracle? A true Bible miracle is, first, something that defies known medical and scientific laws. Number 2, something that is immediate. Number 3, something that is obvious even to the enemies of the Lord. And number 4, something that can be verified and is objective. This is why we say that miracles of healing do not occur today. They do not. Many people claim they see miracles or that they have experienced miracles, but they do not experience this kind of healing that we're reading about in the Bible. People who claim to heal today insist that the patient have faith in Jesus and in miracles first, but this man in Acts 3 had no faith. Number 2, elaborate ceremonies are conducted in which everyone present gets hyped up And once they're put into a positive frame of mind, they naturally feel better and feel more energy. But this is not miraculous healing. This is, as Norman Vincent Peale would call it, the power of positive thinking. Number three, the maladies which are supposedly healed today are maladies which cannot be verified. Faith healers today claim to heal cancer and tumors and backaches and headaches and other things which cannot be verified. Number four, the things which are supposedly miraculous healings today are not instantaneous and immediate. Faith healers today pray for healing to come, and then several days pass, or worse, several weeks and a month pass, and then a poor soul begins to struggle out of bed with a walker and therapy, and they declare they have had a miracle happen to them. My friend, God heals people today, but He does not heal people miraculously. Just as God gives us our daily bread, He also gives us healing, but He does not do so in a miraculous way. He does it in a non-miraculous way. We in the Church of Christ are accused of limiting God when we say that miracles do not occur anymore. But the truth is, these so-called miracle workers are the ones who are limiting God. They do not believe that God can work through ordinary laws of medicine and science. They insist that the only way God can operate is miraculously. Others argue that if God healed people miraculously in times past, then He would do so today because God doesn't change. Here is where people are making the wrong assumption. Although God Himself does not change, He does change how He deals with people from generation to generation. For example, God once created man out of the dust of the ground, and He made a woman for that man from a rib taken from the man. Does God make men and women in this same way today? Of course not. Again, God once became so disgusted with the world that He destroyed it with a flood. Does He do this today? Or will He ever do it again? The answer is no. And the point is, although God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, His methods of doing things change. God gave miracles in the Bible not just so people wouldn't suffer. In fact, God assures us time and again that suffering and sickness and death are going to continue as long as the earth continues. God did not give miracles to undo the suffering that Adam brought in when he sinned. This won't be undone until we get to heaven. Miracles were given to verify the truthfulness of the message preached by the apostles. They needed proof that what they preached was the truth. Miracles became that verifying proof. In Mark 16, verse 20, the apostles went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. However, once the gospel message was confirmed true, miracles would end. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, the Bible says, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." When that which is perfect comes, then miraculous power will cease, according to the Scripture. The perfect thing is said to be like a mirror or a looking glass, which allows men to see themselves as they really are. Notice verse 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." What is this perfect thing that, like a mirror, allows us to see ourselves as we really are? It's the New Testament Scriptures. In James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Here, The perfect law of liberty, the New Testament scriptures, is like a mirror, and it allows us to see ourselves as we really are. Thus, we learn by putting these passages together that miraculous power would end once the perfect law of liberty, the New Testament scriptures, were completely revealed and verified to be true and accurate. I realize this may be new information to you, but I hope that you'll consider it very carefully. We must allow the scriptures to explain themselves. James 1 and 1 Corinthians 13 explain the purpose and the duration of miracles, and this is a very important lesson which we learn from Acts chapter 3. Well, thanks for listening to our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com, with no spaces between those words. There, at our website, you can download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.